Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Thanks for joining us here on the Financial Flight Plan podcast. We have another great episode in store. We're talking three retirement constants that affect everyone. No matter who you are, these are constants you have to pay attention to when you're planning for retirement. I am Ben George alongside Bree Reyes. Bree, how are you?
Doing great. We have had a lot of the family has been sick and had a lot of different surgeries going on in the family in the last few weeks, and everybody is coming through swimmingly, wonderfully. And I'm just, it's been a blessing.
Yeah, I was going to ask, a couple episodes ago, we mentioned Nate having to have the surgery on his ear, correct?
He had his second set of tubes put in, and he had his adenoids taken out as soon as I got back from vacation. A day after I got back from vacation, we did that. And he came through with flying colors.
Awesome.
And so did Giraffe, if anybody remembers yep. about Giraffe. Giraffe also underwent a procedure while Nate was under. Cook's, the Children's Hospital here is, and I've talked about it before and my love for them, but on the kids, rather than put those silly wrist bracelets on like they do the adults, they don't put them on their wrists. They put them on their around their ankles, and you get one on each ankle. Well, they also gave Giraffe his own ankle bracelet. I think he only got one. Nate had two. Giraffe had one. And then they took him back with Nate, obviously. And yeah. then when they both came out of recovery, the surgeon comes in as soon as surgery was over and lets us know the kid's doing great. You know, we could breathe because he did this thing. Ben, he did this thing right before he went in, and this is before he'd gotten any medication or whatever, but he looks at my husband and he goes, "Daddy, I'm going to take a nap and I'm not going to wake up."
Oh.
He's two.
Yeah.
I don't like it when anybody goes under anesthesia, but to hear somebody say, and he said it three times. He told me, he told mommy, this is what's going to happen. He told his daddy, and then he told us both. And I'm like, stop talking. Just, I can't right now. Yeah. I can't process this stuff. So we were in a panic, you know. And so the surgeon comes out after surgery and says, "Nate's doing fine." And I breathe again because I think I'd held my breath the entire time she took him back. And then she goes, "I need to talk to you about Giraffe." And I'm thinking, crap, what do you get, blood on the deal? Like, it'll wash. Not a yeah. problem. She goes, "I don't know if giraffes have adenoids. So we bandaged his horns." I'm like, what? She goes, "Oh, well, you know, we took him back, and so he had to have surgery too, but we're not real sure about giraffes and adenoids. I don't know their physiology. I'm not sure
yeah.
exactly what the, you know, like, do they? So I fixed his horns instead."
Alrighty.
Okay.
Then.
Is my kid breathing? That's all, like, is my kid awake? Is he breathing? That's all that matters to me. You could have lost the giraffe.
Yeah.
And so when they both get wheeled back into the room after they'd been in recovery a little while, sure enough, she had bandaged up the giraffe's ears and the giraffe's horns. And yeah.
That's probably cute afterwards, like a couple of days later, but in the moment you're like, I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Not a care in the world, but now the pictures are adorable
yeah.
of them. And so Nate got a popsicle, Giraffe did not. although he wanted one for Giraffe.
Right.
So he could eat it.
He could have Giraffe too, yeah.
And then they went home and they both were great. They both recovered incredibly well and they're both doing fabulous right now.
That's awesome. Glad to hear that. And thank the Cooks for doing such a great job. I know you've talked about them quite a bit on this show, but.
Oh, I love that hospital.
It makes your life so much easier when they take care of your children like that. So great to hear that Nate's doing well, though. Excited for him. Does he have anything else planned or is he good for now?
We're, knock on wood, good for a little while.
Awesome. That's good.
Although
to hear.
With a 2-year-old, you never know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Be
exactly.
Back there today.
There's some other cases we might have to pay attention to. But yeah, well, that's awesome. We're glad to hear that about Nate. And let's move into our topic today. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to, of course, get to the mailbag again. We've got a getting to know question for Bree a little bit later on. But we got a main focus today, and that's three retirement constants that affect everyone. And again, Bree and her team can always help you through all this stuff. Estes Financial Services, look them up. They're Fort Worth is their office. Serve the Metroplex area. You can find them online, estesfinancial.net. Also on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever platform you choose to use, you can find Bree, her father, Tim, and their team on any of those locations. So today's topic, I'll give you a little background before we get into it, Bree. So, you know, there's some factors that are different for everyone in retirement planning. You know that. You talk with your advisor about those things. Many different variables that you are personal to you, and you have to figure out what affects you more than others. But there are also some constants that affect everyone, no matter the specifics of your situation. So how do we plan around those constants? That's the focus today. So let's start off with number one, and that's inflation.
Yep. Inflation affects all of us. And the problem with inflation is you almost don't even notice it. So a lot of people say the average inflation rate is 3%. I actually have found the historical average for inflation is 3.73%.
Okay.
I'm a little more fastidious with inflation, but it creeps up on you. You buy the loaf of bread this week, it's, you know, whatever it is, and then next week when you need a loaf of bread, you buy the loaf of bread. And there's a lot of people out there, me included sometimes, that don't notice the price of bread the next week. Mm-hmm. We don't notice how far our dollar is stretching this week versus next week, or this week, this month versus last month, until it's bad. And then by the time you notice it, you've noticed it. There's really nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
We don't live in a bartering society. So you could potentially maybe buy cheaper substitutes, but the grocery store, and I'm picking on the grocery store right now because, well, I'm a mom. I live there. the grocery store doesn't accept other prices unless there's like a damaged item or something, but very rarely do they barter. It's pretty much, this is the cost of whatever you want and pay us. Because they have the market for it. And so what we're seeing is more and more, and I think inflation's kind of crept up on people that weren't expecting it. And it especially happens with technology. You know, phones seem to get bigger, smarter, and more expensive every time a new one is released. Yep. And whether or not you use all the bells and whistles that it comes with, it's hard to just find a basic phone anymore. And technologies, the inflation on technology is insane. Also, healthcare. Yeah. Healthcare and college. The inflation numbers for healthcare and the inflation numbers for college are much, much higher than the 3.73%.
Absolutely.
Medicines. I mean, I made the mistake of going to a Walgreens to pick up my EpiPen, and I didn't have my prescription card with me. I thought they always had it on file, and apparently they had changed their system and needed a copy of it. And so they gave me the cash price for my EpiPen. And that almost sent me into anaphylactic shock. Like, whoa, you don't understand, I have insurance.
Yeah.
Like, well, do you have your card with you? No, you have it on file. Well, okay, if you want to take your EpiPen home today, then this is what it's going to cost.
Whew. That's scary. Ah,
it was close to $1,000. I was like, I'm not that allergic. I will be back. So all of these different inflationary factors are stuff we've got to look at into retirement. And, you know, Dad always tells the story. I wish he was here. Dad always tells the story of how when he landed his first duty station, he got a mortgage at 12%. And he thought he was, you know, a rock star. Because yeah. At the time, mortgages were 17-18%. Think about it now. Think we complain when it goes up a point now. 4, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5 seems outrageous.
5 just 10.
No, that's unheard of. Yeah, no way.
No way. But yeah, it happens all the time, and it's gonna come back. And what do? You either just don't buy the house, or you accept the inflation rate. So inflation scares me a lot. It is one of my biggest fears. It and taxes, which we're going to talk about next, I think, are my biggest two fears going into retirement, because there's nothing you can do really about either one.
And I think what also is important when you're planning for that is, you know, you can't control what how much that inflation is going to be. But you have to make sure your investments are outpacing inflation, right? Because it's easy to lose money once you're in retirement if you just are sitting on cash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've met with a couple of couples lately who are big fans of cash. And don't get me wrong, cash has a place. It's super important. But they didn't realize how much they were giving up, how much they were losing by being safe. They were saving themselves into the poorhouse.
Right. Believe it or not,
that happens. Because of inflation.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the one that really scares you, and I think anybody that listens to the show knows this very well about you, and that's taxes. So rising taxes is something that is a constant for everyone. You tell us every single show to be aware of this, to plan for this, but this is one of the biggest ones that you have to know about heading into retirement.
We are currently living in a period of historically low tax rates, and I don't expect that to remain. It cannot continue for the next 30 years. Let's be honest here. And I know no one likes to hear that. Don't get me wrong. I don't like to say it, but we've got to be prepared for it. And it's going to be a constant that's going to affect everyone. And it doesn't matter the tax bracket. A lot of people are super concerned about their particular tax bracket. And don't get me wrong, that's important. But tax brackets can change. And taxes can change. And how much your required minimum distribution from your IRA changes every year. And so there's a lot of variables and moving parts to putting a really good plan together and a really good tax efficient plan together. And most of the time, most of us just kind of go around, we do our thing, we give our CPA a ton of paperwork. I know I do. I'm sorry. And, you know, then they just try to, they prepare our taxes and they send them out. They don't do any real tax planning. And so I think we've got to take that on. And as certified financial planners, and Tim and I do, like, that's a huge part of our practice is planning for taxes in retirement. And I don't think enough people in my industry or just enough people in general are taking this seriously enough, especially with the tax cuts we recently got. I think people are starting to relax on it. And in 10 years, that's going to bite them the tuchus.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you think it's going to kind of remain the way it is. But as you pointed out last episode, there you can go and find a debt calculator. And you can see how much debt we have. And there's really one obvious way out of that, and that's taxes. So
yeah, I've scared you with that, haven't I?
That's all I've thought about since the last episode was that is that calculator. I think I bookmarked it, so just to kind of see where we are. But there's mainly because there's not only the debt, but it's got about 100 different numbers on there that you can track on the economy. So it's very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, you know,
thanks
I apologize
that.
In advance. Tell your therapist it's my fault.
The other thing that we've gotten comfortable with, too, is a strong market, right? I mean, we've been going almost a decade now that it's been going up since that the real estate bubble of 2008. And, you know, we kind of forget that with the ups come the downs. And that's the third constant that you have to be aware of in retirement is planning for those ups and downs and to not be carrying too much risk to where it hurts you too much if we do have another big downturn.
And this is something that we've always, with well-diversified portfolios like we use, volatility is always a risk in any investment you're in. And there's risks to every investment you're in, including cash. Inflation is the biggest risk to cash. But there's all different kinds of risks. Volatility has been something that we've kind of focused on for a long time here. And believe it or not, I get the most complaints from our clients when the markets are healthy.
Really?
Yeah. Because we're so diversified, we don't always get the tippy top of the market.
I wanted 20%.
Right. We had a guy come in one time that was like, I think 35% is a reasonable rate of return. And I was like, I think you're on crack. Every year? Yeah, every year. Well, good luck.
We would all love that. Yes. Please let us know when you find it.
And it's probably a Ponzi scheme. good luck with that. But anyway, it's important to know your risk number. Know what you are personally comfortable with. The amount of risk that I take on is not necessarily the amount of risk that Dad does in his portfolios. And why? It's because we have different tolerances for risk. I have a different tolerance for risk than my husband. And so you need to know what risk you are comfortable with, and you need to know how volatile your portfolio is going to be. Meaning, with a 95% accuracy, where's my portfolio going to fall within the next 6 months? And so if you know how the low side, the low number where you can be, and you know where the high number where you can be in the next 6 months, and you're comfortable with both of those, it's easier to move forward. And so that's something we're really focusing on right now is everybody's individual risk tolerance with our clients while we're doing annual reviews and really, really making sure they get it.
Makes sense. The good thing, though, is these are all constant. So we know these things are all going to affect retirement. So as you're planning for inflation, rising taxes, and market volatility, it's a great thing to speak with an advisor about, a professional about, to get help planning for these things. We know they're going to happen. So don't avoid them. You know, don't put it off. Go ahead.
Don't put your head in the sand, please.
Exactly. Build it into your plan. It's going to make you much more relaxed, give you a peace of mind. In case there is a downturn, you know, when the taxes go up again, as they will, or as you're dealing with inflation, all these things are going to happen. So be prepared. And you can do that with Bree and her team at Estes Financial. And you can find them online at estesfinancial.net. But another tool that they have that they offer all the podcast listeners, so you listening right now, if you contact Bree and her team, you can do that, as I mentioned, on their website, but also you can call them 817-444-8402. They've got a really great tool that they will give to you for free to use to help you with those taxes. And it is the Ticking Tax Time Bomb Toolkit.
Yes. It's kind of a mouthful. But in it, what you get is you get the book that Tim and I and Dan wrote together, the Financial Flight Plan book, 7 Lessons to Save Your Retirement. You get a CD talking about taxes in the future and 2 special reports, the 5 risks that could destroy your retirement. So big 5 things to think about. And we talked about 3 of them today, I think. And then the tax special report as well, because obviously taxes and inflation are important to me. And then we've got an investor awareness guide. So the value of all these things put together, if we were going to look at it that way, would be $97. But we give it to you free, complimentary, gratis to you, just for calling or emailing, reaching out. And take a listen to the CD, read the book, send me questions. I love it when people have read the toolkit and need help. We had a gentleman come in this week that had received the Ticking Tax Toolkit and knew he needed help and came in, and we worked together a little bit on it. And it's fun. It's neat. It's, I know that facing these things, these very scary constants, can be scary. I mean, they really, really can, especially when you're thinking about the rest of your life and 30 years or so in retirement. I understand that it is a terrifying idea and conversation to have. But it's a little easier if we take the fear of the unknown out of it. Once we know how things work and once we've got a plan in place to fight all of these things, you can breathe a little bit. You can relax a little bit and you get that sleep factor back.
Oh, that's such a great feeling too.
It is.
So important. And look, all you have to do is just tell Bree, hey, I was listening to the podcast, wanted to get your tax toolkit, and she'll send it to you. Again, estesfinancial.net, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, any of these spots, you can reach out to them or call them 817-444-8402.
It's getting to know you time.
All right, it is time to get to know Bree a little bit more. This is probably one of my favorite parts of the show because Bree is a very interesting person, leads a very interesting life, has a lot of fun hobbies and interests. So I got a question for her that I expect an answer that I'm not ready for. So let's see. Other than something related to the financial world, what's a topic that you could give a 1-hour presentation on without any preparation? What would be your TED Talk, I guess?
Oh, okay, I don't think this would make a very, well, it might make an interesting TED Talk. The Ebola virus.
Ebola virus.
I read Richard Preston's The Hot Zone when it came out in 94. I am a giant, giant nerd and a big reader. And so in that book, it was a terrifying true story about viral hemorrhagic fevers, particularly Marburg virus and Ebola virus. And it opened my eyes to how dangerous a virus like Ebola could be in today's world. And the fact that a relative of Ebola virus has actually been here to the United States, 25 miles away from DC.
Ooh, scary.
Yeah. It terrified me, but also I walked away with a giant interest in viruses and how they work. And that's always been one of the jobs I would have loved besides what I do, which I'm really, really happy with what I do. But my backup career was always I was interested in virology and the study of viruses and working for, say, the CDC in the spacesuits dealing with Ebola.
It's been a few years since our last outbreak, right? I mean, what was it, about 4 or 5 years ago, there was that large outbreak that really kind of took over the headlines?
It did. And we had the doctor come here. One of the people that was infected actually came to Dallas. And it was funny because one of my best friends was getting married at the time. And she had family that didn't want to come, didn't want to travel to DFW. Huh. Because, you know, we had a couple of Ebola patients here, which cracked me up because she was getting married about an hour away from where they were. So the odds of them running into each other were not going to happen. And they were all in a hospital at that point in time. But, you know, better safe than sorry, I guess. But it's very, very interesting to me how the virus can move from animals to humans and just what it does to the body and the internal organs and how we can protect ourselves from it. And it's fascinating to me. So, yes, Ebola.
That's interesting. I've never, you know, I've always kind of paid attention to it, obviously, because it's such a big health risk. But, you know, I've never really thought twice about it when I've heard it. But I guess now you will be the person I associate with Ebola moving forward. So there you go, Bree.
Wonderful. I'm happy to do that.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but that's going to be the case moving forward. I've never heard anybody say that about Ebola, but that's why we ask you these questions, to get your answers. So that's been getting to know Bree a little bit better on Ebola.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
Now it's time for a mailbag question, where we always finish out the show by answering a question from a listener as we take them either online. You can reach out on estesfinancial.net. You can reach out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all these places. Send a question over to us and we will bring it on the show and ask Bree so we can inform as many people as possible. And this week we have a question from Annie. She is in Fort Worth and she's got a very simple question, but one I'm interested in because I've done the same thing before. She asks, most of my 401k is invested in company stock. Is that a bad thing?
Annie, in my opinion, yes. I say this to a lot of our clients that work for publicly traded companies all the time. I get this question a lot from our Lockheed Martin employee clients because they love what they do and they think that they are supporting their company and, you know, they want to be good corporate employees and team players. And, you know, and my thought is, everyone, you know, I understand that philosophy. I totally get it. And I'm sure a lot of the Enron employees that went through what they went through had that exact same mindset. Mm-hmm. But the problem with, and we saw it here in Texas, we saw it with Enron. The problem with that situation is, what happened with Enron is, not only did they lose their jobs, they also lost their 401k.
Yeah, it was awful.
So if you have all of your eggs in one basket, it's never a good idea. Now, am I saying don't have any company stock? No. But you said, Annie, most of your 401k is in your company stock. I would say diversify away. Your big income stream is your job, I'm assuming, unless you are just independently wealthy, and that's awesome too. But don't put all of your eggs in one basket. And I know you want to be a good team player and I know you want to support your company and I'm all for that, but you're supporting your company by just being there every day and doing a really good job. Be an awesome employee, but invest your money elsewhere.
Yeah, that's good advice. I always like the feeling of knowing that, you know, maybe your work was getting rewarded in the stock price. I mean, in some very, very small in minuscule way. That's kind of always why I liked it. But you're right. Having everything tied up into one stock is never a good idea, no matter what your company you work for. Even if you were at Amazon, I mean, it would have been good in the short term, but who knows over the course of your career where that's going to end up. So,
or Facebook. I mean, yeah. Facebook's been kind of a wild ride for some of those employees. And I know a lot of them had their personal net worth tied up in Facebook. So it's always good to diversify out. Diversify and consider where you work and diversify maybe a little out of that. You know, I love our publicly traded companies here in Fort Worth. I love our American Airlines and our Lockheed Martin and all the wonderful Alcon and all the wonderful publicly traded companies we have here. At the same time, you have to understand that you are taking a tremendous risk by not only being employed there, but also being fully invested in there. be a good employee. Focus on that and let the rewards come from that and maybe be invested in your 401k elsewhere.
I always think too that if you're, you know, if you were tracking that stock price pretty closely, if you had most of your money in there tied to that, you may even resent your company a little bit if it wasn't doing well in the stock market, right? I mean, if you go in and you've lost, your company's lost 10%, I mean, you kind of probably resent being there maybe at times.
Well, and you're thinking, I'm working my tush off, and why isn't this other division doing as well? They're dragging us down.
Right,
yeah. Your morale is already tied into your company enough. Don't extra tie yourself there. And it's, you know, you're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. No one knows what's in your 401k but you anyway.
Exactly. Thank you, Annie, for the question. We appreciate that. Again, you can send us in your question, and it could be featured right here on the Financial Flight Plan podcast. Every week, we take a question or two from a listener, and this week it was Annie. So make sure you reach out to us at estesfinancial.net. Send in your questions there, and we will get to them. That's going to do it for this show. Again, if you have any questions about what we talked about today, too, you know, three retirement constants, very, very, very important when you're making your plan that you are planning for these and building your investment strategy around that and sticking to that plan. And Bree and her team can help you with that as well at Estes Financial Services. They are in Fort Worth. That's where their office is located. You'll find them there, but also they serve the entire Metroplex. So feel free to reach out to them to get some help, get some advice, ask a few questions. If you got the toolkit and have a question for Bree, she loves talking taxes. So reach out to her and ask her a few questions about that. And you can do that on the phone at 817-444-8402 or estesfinancial.net. So Bree, that's going to do it for this show. You got a final message for everyone?
Yes. Everyone go out and lead an abundant life.
Thank you, Bree, and thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the Financial Flight Plan podcast. We'll talk to you next time.